Welcome back to this wonderful Saturday. Beautiful day outside. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you. Sports Talk Saturday. Before the break, we were going through over-under totals on passing yards and passing touchdowns for quarterbacks. We even looked into a little bit of rushing action on Jaden Daniels especially because right. It was such a steep drop-off from last year. Before the break, we ended up talking about the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa. Really, what do we think? Like, I don't know what to think. Just his injury history. You mentioned he had one healthy season. Like,
one 17-game season, yes.
And it's just, I feel like Miami's a dumpster fire ready to implode at this point.
It's not even with Tua's health at this point that is my biggest concern. It is about how Mike McDaniel does seem to be conducting himself like a dead man walking.
Yes.
And
even the things he's saying at some of these press conferences, he sounds just defeated, like he's got nothing.
And then there's also the Bears reports, like Sal asking a Bears reporter about, like, hey, the physicality, and they were impressed about how the Bills would match the physicality and then sometimes even outdo it.
Mm-hmm. And the Dolphins
and with
were just
Miami,
not there.
It wasn't there. It tells me that there is a leadership there from McDaniel that the players are just a little, they're more lax. They're not as tenacious. And, of course, then there's Tyreek Hill. Man says, I'm done. And Tua, I think, said the right things.
Oh, he did it the right way.
He called it out. And I think that's the right thing to do. Honestly, if not for the dead cap hit, I'm pretty sure Miami would cut bait with him.
100%. After that, with
Hill.
How do you go about bringing...
Because then you've got Hill saying, and ready? I don't care if he's right. You don't say it publicly of, what do you guys need to do to get better at third down? Take Achan out.
Yeah, right. Now he's trying to coach and tell you how to run your team.
I'm sorry. You can be correct. Tell that to coach.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell that to the reporters.
That's a behind closed doors kind of situation.
That is throwing a teammate under the bus saying that you're not good enough for this.
Even though Achan, I mean, has been a standout running back in the league for the past
His point was that Achan is not a power back, and he's correct about that.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that you don't say that to reporters.
No. You publicized it. And that was the big issue.
But again, Tyreek Hill's causing more problems than he's capable of solving at this point. More at 11.
Sports is next. That's not even the sports stuff.
It's
like watching a soap opera down there right now.
And that's the thing.
In the 305.
So the player props. I forgot the numbers already, mostly because of the fact that the Dolphins themselves do look like a team that is in some they're in some trouble.
Yes. So
they're in some deep doo-doo. Mm-hmm. As one Jar Jar Binks would say.
Darth Jar Jar. Tua Tagovailoa over 3,425.5 for passing yards, and then passing touchdowns 22.5 both ways, over under. And I don't feel confident that he's going to be able to do that, mainly because I'm not confident he can stay healthy. And that's kind of where it's at this point.
If he stays healthy, let's go on the
if he
the
stays healthy.
Thing. Ready? He stays healthy. Yards over, touchdowns under is my pick.
I would agree. I think the running backs do a lot more of the scoring of the touchdowns.
It's also because through a 16 or 17 game season, his best is 29. That's his best.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Miami should have taken the division.
They should have. And then the Bills storm back with this crazy win streak and just snagged it.
Because Miami has an outright refusal to be able to beat teams over 500. Or play well in November, December, January.
Mm-hmm. We got to credit Hardy for that game. That return was the only thing that actually got anything going for the Bills in that game.
But there's a deeper problem of Miami, though, put themselves in that position.
They did. They let it slip away. They had a death grip on it. If they won more games, they would have had it. They fell apart.
They lost to Tennessee and Will Levis.
Mm-hmm. Mayo man.
Rookie Will Levis.
Yes.
Before he became the meme lord that we all can savor.
Mm-hmm. It's just a sad story in Miami.
You look at their schedule. First four games. It's the Colts to open and then the AFC East. New England, Buffalo, New York. Carolina's not a pushover. The Chargers are a game that they're probably losing. Cleveland is feisty, at least defensively. Atlanta should be better. Baltimore's going to knock the snot out of you. You got Baltimore, Buffalo, Washington 3 weeks before the bye. Tell me McDaniel doesn't get fired by then.
Yeah, if it's bad, I think they do make the change.
So ready? The first eight games, Indy, New England, Buffalo, New York, Jets,
mm-hmm.
Carolina, Chargers, Cleveland, Atlanta. If they're 3-5, you're in trouble because then it's Baltimore, Buffalo, Washington.
Yeah.
Because 3-5 then quickly turns into 3-8
mm-hmm.
heading into the bye week.
Then the scissors come out, and then it's
you're cutting bait with the coach.
Yeah, that's done. And it's a shame. It really is because, I mean, it's not because it's the Dolphins. Let's just be honest here. But Mike McDaniel,
when Washington is a London game.
Yeah. When Mike McDaniel, 9:30
or a Europe
a.m.
game, sorry.
9:30, yeah. I was just looking at that. When Mike McDaniel came into the NFL, and really, not NFL, but the Dolphins organization, he's a breath of fresh air for them. It kind of breathed life into the rivalry between the Bills and Dolphins. He played at it, right? Now it's just looking, and it was all these snarky remarks. I wish it were colder. It was kind of back.
It was great initially.
Initially.
By the way, it's Madrid, that game, Commanders, Dolphins.
Madrid.
So
it was good initially, you're right. And then it kind of just...
The problem with the snarky attitude or the fun, silly answers is if you don't win, the shtick gets old.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that Miami as of late has not been winning.
No, and you can't act like that.
The last 2 years have been you collapsed the AFC East title that was wrapped up for you. And then last year happened.
Last year was bad.
Last year was bad. Last year was also...
Tua injury
immediately, and you're behind the eight ball before you can even get yourself out of it, and you're clawing your way for a prayer's chance at a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, before you head to your bye week, the schedule's not very forgiving for you.
No, you've got quite a run. And then even coming out, yeah, you have the Saints and the Jets, whatever they're going to be.
Well, the Saints and the Jets, I don't think they're going to be good. I honestly think the easiest part of their schedule is after the bye week.
Even with the Steelers, Bengals,
you
Bucks?
Have, so ready? You have a five-week stretch where you have to go to Cleveland, go to Atlanta, and then those three games against Baltimore, Buffalo, and Washington, they're at home. But those teams are on a different scale than you are.
Yeah, they're the upper echelon of the NFL, and you are... at the bottom currently.
And ready? That's also, the calendar starts turning. You're starting to get into November when you get Buffalo coming into town.
Right. You're getting cooler temperature. You don't have any advantage at your home field anymore. You're
and then
playing
Washington,
in real football weather.
Washington's not at home. It's in Madrid.
Mm-hmm. Then you're traveling. It's just, you know, it's not a short week for them.
And when their schedule gets easier... We're hitting December, where they start to collapse.
That's anyway, always where they do.
Mm-hmm. Where they start to collapse anyway. Miami could be in for a mountain of trouble this year, possibly even a five-win team.
I think we're going to be watching the tragedy of the Miami Dolphins this upcoming season. That's just what it's like, what the vibes feel like, man, just
like,
looking at this.
Let's bracket it. Four games at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Indy, New England, Buffalo, Jets. Considering it's the AFC East, you're probably coming away with this, hopefully with a 2-2 record.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Could be.
But I'd imagine you're...
Could be 1-3.
I usually don't subscribe to this, but you haven't handled Buffalo at all, whether it be home or on the road.
No.
And
New England looks feisty, too. They might be able to give you a run for your money.
Getting Buffalo at home early...
Prime time.
...is an interesting thing because you get the heat, but then it's prime time. It's at night. The sun is not bearing down on them anymore.
Yeah.
Womp womp. So I don't think you're beating Buffalo.
I don't think so either. They came close last year, but...
They came close last year.
Tyler Bass
on the second
got the confidence
around.
Back.
And then the kick that got Tyler Bass's groove back.
Yeah, it woke him up.
But New England's going to be better. I think they're on par with the Jets in terms of caliber of roster.
I would agree.
Indy's not a pushover in terms of at least defensively.
Well, it depends on the quarterback that's playing, too, for them. That's the problem. You're either with Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson. At this point.
Which one's worse?
It could end up being Jameis Winston. Could end up being, could end up being somebody.
I don't know.
Either way, you're not looking great in the quarterback.
They're cutting Tommy DeVito and you will like it.
I don't think they'll cut Tommy DeVito. I'm going to be honest with you. He knows the system too well.
I don't know, man. But again, that first four games, you're hoping to get out of that 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because division games, you can steal one or two of them. But typically, you're not getting out of this unscathed. No way.
Not at all.
At best, you're probably looking at a 2-2 start. Carolina, Chargers, at Cleveland, at Atlanta. So you've got 3 of 4 games on the road, actually, because you're at Carolina, too. You got 3 of 4 on the road. The Panthers are going to be better than they've been in years past. That's not a gimme. The Chargers are good. Cleveland's got a tough defense.
Mm-hmm.
It is a matter of, can your defense, which has been dreadful, stop the Cleveland Browns? The answer is you should.
Should be able to.
Should be able to. But by then, we don't know who their quarterback is. Cleveland might be starting their third quarterback by then. In week 7. Atlanta. They're a better team than you.
100%.
And you're on the road.
Then it's the Ravens.
Honestly, I don't love this. I look at that and I go, Miami's going 1-3 out of that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which puts you at 3-5.
Then you lose to the Ravens.
Then you've got Ravens, Bills, Commanders.
I think you go 0-3 in that stretch.
Big yikos.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach gets fired. It's 3-8.
It's done. You're
coming back from Madrid on the bye week. You try to get the head coach. You try to get the interim coach boost to end your season.
Right.
And then you've got Saints, Jets, Pittsburgh. You probably come away with a couple wins there.
A split on that series,
probably
maybe.
Probably 2-1.
Yeah, you're
looking at
like
a 5-win team at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Cincy, Tampa, New England. Give it 1-2. I'm looking at a 6 or 7 win team here.
Yeah, and it's a stark contrast from what it was 3 years ago.
These past 3 years, yes.
Mm-hmm. Like you have fallen off the cliff into eternity at that point.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, man.
It's like still calling it a rivalry between the Bills and Dolphins. It's moot. They're not.
I mean, it is.
But the Bills own them. It's not a rivalry until they at least put some other wins on the board against them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but also we've said the same thing about New England when there was just an outright inability to beat them.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna go ahead and say Miami fans, you're not allowed to call it a rivalry because nobody on your side wins.
I think it's more.
You can still hate them.
It's more of a rivalry on. I do not like the Dolphins, but you know what are you gonna do? It's not looking good for them though. Yeah. Not at all.
Rivalries are meant to just be hatred.
Yeah. Yeah. It's doom and gloom. I don't know. I do think I don't know if there are betting odds on McDaniel getting fired, but I would take the yes option 100% on that happening. But I don't know. There were a couple other names I wanted to look at on the list, just the bigger names, like, you know, Joe Burrow especially. We'll go to him just real quick before we wrap up the segment in a few minutes here and then tie up this little show with a little bow. Joe Burrow, he's over 4,225.
Did I look up the odds for which head coach gets fired first?
Did you?
Yes.
Did you find them?
So they've been yet to be released. But the odds that, so Oddshark put something out about this. But the other sites, they haven't really put anything out.
Nothing yet. Yeah.
Dable's the first from their projections, +400. McDaniel, +500. So he might be being seen as the second most likely to get canned.
I see it with Dable, though. I almost see the GM going, not Dable. You know?
They were hired together, though. Both from the Bills organization.
Yeah.
Joe Shane.
But it's not Brian like Dable hasn't made the playoffs.
They showed up together, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that. But ready? Same with Miami. They've made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Greer keeps winning power struggles, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the other thing to look at. If I'm Greer, I'm looking at the coach and going, there's clearly a bad culture at that point, right? So I'm going to get rid of him before so that I can save my hind.
Right.
Because he had to deal with Brian Flores and beating him in a power struggle.
I remember that. That was a saga in itself. But Shane Steichen is on that list. I'm looking at it now myself at plus 600. Stefanski, plus 700. Dave Canales, 750. Jonathan Gannon, 800. I don't know what.
Honestly, Canales is going to end up removed from that.
Yeah. And then Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach, on the list at plus 900.
Well, if they start poorly like they always do, that's not a good idea.
Right. And that leads into where I was looking at Joe Burrow-wise. They have him at 4,225.5 passing yards over-under this season.
4,225?
Yeah.
They're going to need him to be over.
He is over. But guess what? His defense doesn't carry their weight. So that's just how that ends up going. Like that, right. It's what you're going to have to deal with, especially... They figured out Shamar Stewart, right? But they've not figured out Henderson or Hendrickson.
Hendrickson, yeah.
Hendrickson has not been figured out. So that's your best part of your defense that's still sitting on the sidelines. Burrow's touchdowns, passing touchdowns, over under 33.5. Over.
They're going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
In order to even compete for a playoff spot, they're going to need it.
Yep. And then just to cap this off, we're going to look at Joshua Patrick Allen, our own quarterback, just to close this out. Over 3,775.5 passing yards under that as well. What do you think?
3,700?
Mm-hmm.
Give me that over.
Yeah, me too. And then Allen, passing touchdowns. This is where it gets interesting with Allen, though, because he's going to rush for a majority of touchdowns within 10, 15 yards.
Right. So what's the number?
27.5.
Oh, still give me the over on that.
You think?
Last year's wide receiver room, still throws for 28.
Yeah, 27.5. He's favored to go under 27.5.
And also, that's with one less game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stats say that he started all 17 games, but he took one snap.
Under 27.5, minus 148. Over 27.5, plus 112. They think he's going to go under.
Yeah. I'm saying that the over is a very comfortable thing to go with.
Yes, especially with Josh Allen. But that wraps that up. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be back to wrap this show up. The little bow on the other side. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Calley, Derek Kramer. This is WGR.